Bez Hashem Yisboch, we begin Perek Achar Asa, the 11th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Ma'alot B'Leiva, the laws of the lender, the bar, and the Sefer Shpatim, Book of Judgments. But now we begin a new theme regarding that of the payment of loans. As we discussed specifically in this Perek, the two types of loans, of oral loans and loans and recorded documents, and regarding collecting from Yerushim, from inheritors. As Rambam gives a halacha regarding qualifying these two different types of loans. Hamaves Chaved B'fnei Edim. Someone lends to his friend in front of witnesses. Where he tells the witness, "Hey, you alai edim, you guys should be witnesses for me. Shani chayv lezamana, that I owe this guy a mana." So either they saw the actual loan, or they heard him admit that he owes him 100 zuz. Oy atim edai, or he says the terminology of, "You are my witnesses. Shani chayv lezamana, that I owe this guy 100 zuz." Either way, zunikris milvapeh. This is called an oral loan, which is there's testimony to this loan, but it's not recorded in a document. And therefore, in tzorch lefar be'edim, that's a type of loan that does not have to be paid up in front of witnesses. Lefikach, therefore, im toin v'amachakach, he claims and he subsequently says, parati, I paid it up. So nishba heses, he just takes a rabbinic oath, benifter, and he's exempt. Aval amalves chavei b'shtar, in contrast, if someone takes a loan, recording a document, there tzorch lefar be'edim, there he has to pay back with witnesses, because you have a document that's contradicting this, because what's he doing with the document if you paid up already? So you'd have to pay up in front of witnesses. If he claims and he says, "I already paid up this document," and it's not believed, because what do you mean? Bring either witnesses, or why am I holding onto this document? Rather, they tell him, "Either bring witnesses that you paid up, or get up and pay him the debt that you owe him." Therefore, someone says to witnesses, "Hey, you lie, Edim, be for me witnesses that I owe this guy 100 zuz." In Kaitz, when they do some Menesim Lamal, but they can't not write down their testimony and give that to the lender, because we don't want to switch this oral loan to make it an Edis Peshtar, to make it a testimony in the document, because that changes the game, as we just mentioned, and it was only an oral loan, until the borrower says to them, "Kis Rishtar, write a document, and sign it, usnula, and give it to him only then." And Alpha Bisha'amalim Kach, even if he tells them this, what we just described, Tzrichim Lehim Malach, but they have to still consult with them, after that they signed on the document, and only then, only then do they give the document into the hand of the lender. Now, but let's say they actually made an acquisition from him with a kinyan chalipin, which is a lien of his properties for the payment of this loan, that they made this kinyan that he owes them 100 zuz. Then and then they could write and they could give it up, even though he didn't tell the witnesses to write it. Generally, if you're making an acquisition, it's also being prepared for it to be written, because just like he's strengthening their ability with a kinyan, so too he's strengthening them that it should be written down. And therefore, they don't have to consult with him before it's given, because after kinyan is done, there's no requirements of consulting him. Halacha Beis. If the borrower writes a document with his own handwriting, the hate by Eidim, witnesses testify on it, and he gives it to the lender, so that's a valid, bona fide document. You have witnesses, and this guy wrote it. So that he writes a document, even if there's no witnesses, but he gives it to the lender in front of witnesses, that's considered also a loan in the document. Because that's what's called Edim Esira, they saw it being given over. But as long as it's a writing, they cannot be forged. And V'yikru Eisa Edim, and also that the witnesses should read it, the one Shanim's name that it was given over in front of them, because if they didn't read it, so what are they going to testify at a later point in time? They don't know what it says. Now, V'yeshmin ha-ga'inim shahayra, there are those from the period of the Ga'inim, which was after the Gemara's period, those Rabbanim, that they ruled shatzorch leim la'edim shabesor b'fneim, that you have to say to the witnesses that it was given over this document in front of them, sign and testify that it was given over in front of you, again, so that it should publicize, which is that's one of the objectives of making something milva b'shtar, that people know about it, and therefore it has different halachas, as we can describe later on. Halacha Gimel. If let's say he produces that guy's handwriting that he owes him money, but there's no witnesses on it, so although it's already been established, we know that that's that borrower's handwriting, as we already have his handwriting already in the court. But this is considered like an oral loan for all halachas, because ultimately there's no witnesses on the documentation, and there's no witnesses at all involved. Now, therefore, if he claims that he paid it up, yeah, he could just take a rabbinic oath and exempt himself. And also, in the Gevi B'Ksav said, you cannot collect with this handwritten document that has no witnesses, Leman Ayershin, not from inheritors, Leman Lekuches, and not from anyone who bought from this person, just like a regular oral loan, because it does not have the halachic status as a shtar for these purposes. Halacha Dalet continues regarding the differences between the different types of loans. So, kol milvah b'shtar, any loan that's recorded in a document, goyva isa min ha-yershin u min ha-kuchas, that you could collect from the inheritors, if let's say this person passed away, and from those who bought from him, meaning they bought from the borrower after the loan was already taken and his assets already were indebted to the lender, k'mayish is but, like we're going to explain later on, perkit ches, the lender could collect from them. U milvah pound, on the other hand, but an oral loan, which is just borrowing money without any documentation, goyva isa min ha-yershin, so that you could collect from the inheritors because that was already indebted, those assets, when their father was still alive. But you cannot collect it from those who bought from that borrower from rabbinic institution. And the reason for that is lafisha and lakoil, because an oral loan, generally when people borrow, they do it discreetly. That does not have any, the word does not get out. And lafikach liitrifba, therefore you cannot collect from it because it would cause losses to the borrowers who cannot be careful because no one knows about it. And it's going to cause a whole disruption in the financial cycle. But a loan that's recorded in a document, kol yeshlo, word gets out. People know about documents. And therefore the buyer, he who bought from the borrower, he caused the loss for himself. He didn't ask until he knows to know, and which word's out there, that the borrower's, that the one he bought from was a borrower that whose properties were indebted to the lender. Because all the assets of a borrower biblically are under the lien to the lender, and that's something he could have known. So it's his own undoing. If someone sells his field with witnesses, and then what happens is that the creditor of the seller goes and collects from the buyer. So even though the buyer doesn't have any document of the sale, he could go ahead and collect from other properties that were encumbered from, that bought from the seller after him. So there was a borrower who was before him, and then he was a buyer before the next buyer. Like I explained later on, Perek Chavav Halacha Aleph, the reason why he could collect, even though he doesn't have a document, because anyone who sells b'fahesi meicher, he sells it out in the open because he wants people to try to bid and try to give the highest price. But kol yeshlo, and therefore the word gets out, meaning the second buyer who wasn't careful caused the loss of himself because he knew someone else bought before him who has a chrayis. So although regarding loans, we say no, it has to be a shtar because the realtor word doesn't get out, sales word gets out, and therefore the second buyer is going to lose from the first buyer. Halacha Vav continues regarding collecting property from the inheritors when it's regarding an oral loan. So in halvah shal peh, an oral loan is not nigvas min hayershin, it's not collected from inheritors. Ella be'echad mishlosh dvarim elu, only one of these three following cases. Keshechayv moedavah, when the debtor admits, and mitziva b'cholya, and he commanded when his illness would be right before he passed away, sheyesh l'pleni alav chaybadayin, that person still has an outstanding debt on him. That's case number one. So then obviously it's owed, and the yershin have to pay it back. Oy, or case number two, shalisa halva lizman. The loan was for a certain time. And the loan didn't mature yet. Didn't come time for it to pay up. And bechazaki, and there's always a presumption, no one pays up a loan in the time that he doesn't have to pay it up yet. Oy, or case number three, sheniduhu. He was actually in a state of excommunication because of his unwillingness to pay up the debt. Actually, until he gives umes benedu, and he died in a state of excommunication, which obviously, if he had paid it, that would have been taken off, but he died in a state of nidui. So kol elu, all these three cases, good from the yershin b'lei shvu, you could collect from the inheritors without an oath, because obviously it's verified that it wasn't paid up yet. Aval bo eidim shohi chayv lezemanon. But if let's say witnesses come that this guy owed him $100, or he borrowed in front of us, which also seems indicative that he owes him the money. But here in the government, the yerush klum, no, you cannot collect anything from the inheritors, because shema p'ray. Although we know that there's witnesses that he borrowed from him, but maybe the father paid him when he was still alive, and had he been alive and he would have claimed that paid, he would have been believed. So also for the yerushin, we don't let that person just collect. And the reason is shalmav is chaber beidim, because someone lends his friend with witnesses, and it's hard to lefar beidim, does not have to pay him back in front of witnesses. Even if they produce the father's handwriting that he owes money to them, and they go back home, he can't collect anything. Like we explained this in the Halacha Gimel, where that's not considered like a milvah b'shtar. and therefore he could claim I paid, and they would be believed if he took a Shavuos Heses, and therefore you cannot claim from Yerushim in those cases. Halacha Zayin. Now, loy v'shein lo metatlin v'yesh lekarka. Regarding a borrower who does not have movable items, but he has real estate, and he says, look, I have no money, and the creditors want to collect from his property, because primarily the movable items is what's collected from first, but he's claiming he doesn't have. So they have to collect from property. But if the courts find out that he deposited his monies by others to try to get out of having that money paid up for the lender, then what they actually do is they force him to sell the property because of the fact that he really has mobile items. So he's making believe he doesn't have. He has to sell the property and pay the money to the creditor. But they don't know that for a fact, that he has money that he's hiding away somewhere else. Then machrim, and they make what's called a cheirim, some type of excommunication. If someone knows that he has movable items and he doesn't bring it, and since no one comes forth, and then they go down to the medium grade of his properties, and that's where the creditor collects from, which is more like we're going to explain later on in Perkutas Halacha Aleph. But when we say this, that he collects from the movable items, it's mentioned the Freiman Aleva Asmai, which this we have relates to the previous halacha regarding the Yerushim. It's only when they're collecting from the bar himself. Avalaboli put him in the Yerushim, but someone's coming to collect from the inheritor, being cut and being gullible, whether the inheritor is a minor or an adult, it doesn't make a difference. They put him in the metal, and they cannot collect from the movable items. Even if those movable items were deposited or as a loan by someone else, and they never really even came into the possession of the orphans because it was outsourced, it doesn't make a difference. Shamatatlan, because the movable items of orphans, biblically does not have the lien for the creditor, because the lender is not relying on movable items, because he knows the borrower could discreetly hide it or move it somewhere else, and only in real estate, which cannot be moved, is really where he relies on, and that's where his biblical sheba is going to be on. Halacha Ches continues regarding that although it might not be an obligation, there is a mitzvah for inheritors to pay up the debt of their father. Mitzvah al-Yisayimim, the mitzvah on orphans, l'freichev aviyim, to pay back their father's debt, min ha-matatlan shaneach, from the movable items, which we said there's no chayv, but that's a mitzvah, the movable items that he left over for them. V'm le'rotza yerush li'tenav, the inheritor doesn't want to give it, in kaifim, we don't force him to do this mitzvah of kibud av'im. Now, v'm tavis b'chev mechayim, but if let's say the creditor had already grabbed it when the father was still alive, so give him, then he could collect from those movable items. Now, let's say Toin Shemachem Tfasim, let's say he claims he grabbed it when the father was still alive. But Vayirish Toin Shemachem Isidavis, inheritor claims that he grabbed it only after the father was dead, which then he wouldn't have the right to grab it. Alayirish Lahavi Raya. So it's incumbent upon the inheritor to bring the proof that what's in the possession of the creditor was grabbed only after death. Or if the Irish doesn't have witnesses, Yeshava Hamalva Shekach V'Kachu Chayvloi, the lender swears that this is how much he owes him, the yochalitin atkadeidmeim, and he could claim up until the monetary value of the object that he grabbed of for his collection, because had he wanted, he could have said that he bought it. So because of that claim that he could say he bought it, he's allowed to keep that much of the debt that is owed to him. But v'kol b'shavasa shemachayim tavas, he has to include in the oath also that he had grabbed it when the father still loved, because if not, he has no right of grabbing it at all. Now, but let's say advarim shetavas shtaris. Let's say from the things that he had grabbed were documents, deeds. And he claims that it's collateral in his hands, some type of security for the debt. The shemachayim tavas that he grabbed it when the father was still alive, which in Perek Gimel we explain that a mashkin does not become a tatlin by the children. So it's incumbent upon the lender to bring proof that he grabbed it when the father was still alive. But if he cannot bring proof, so the Yerushim gives it back to inheritors. Why? We said before that it's not his, it's the Yerushim that have to bring proof. Why does he have to bring proof? Because here the shtaris are different. Because he's not claiming to acquire the bodies of these documents themselves. Only for the proof. There's no inherent value in the documents. It's what it's a proof of, which you could collect based on that. Since it's not something intrinsic, so therefore he doesn't really have anything, and therefore he has to bring the proof and not the inheritors. Halachatas, Yisayim Shagobu Karka. If orphans collected properties, Bachoiv Shoila Vin Eslachem, meaning people owed their father, their late father, monies, and they collect for that debt property from that other person, Yesh Labachoiv Shalavim. Now, the creditor of their father although they didn't have property and he had nowhere to collect from, now that they collected property from a debt that was owed to their father, now their father's creditor could be lachzor b'ligvos oisim mehem, could now and subsequently collect that property from them, because this property was from their father for a debt that was owed to him. So halacha yud, so we have the following interesting case. Reuven shamach asad l'shimon b'achrayis. Reuven sells a field to Shimon with insurance, which if anything happens, he tells Shimon, I'll compensate you, I'll reimburse you. Now, what happens is, but Shimon didn't pay for the field that he bought. B'zokav Shimon demei hasad olav milva l'Reuven. What he did was, he made it like, they translated the sale into like a loan. So I owe you $10 million for the house. Okay, Reuven, I don't have the money right now. Let it be a loan that I owe you. Okay, and then Mace Reuven, the seller died. Uvav al-chayv shel Reuven, now another variable, another part of the equation. Uvav al-chayv shel Reuven, now the creditor of Reuven, Reuven the seller, had a creditor who was owed a bunch of money. So he came literally from Mishim HaSad, he's looking for assets to collect from. You know, Shimon had bought, after the loan was outstanding to him, which all the guy's properties is indebted to him, he wants to collect from Shimon the field for the money that Reuven owes him, who sold it to him. Ufisa Shimon b'mois, and Shimon appeased him with monies, meaning the debt of the monies of the field, which the orphans would have to compensate him because, meaning he owed the money to the orphans because it was still an outstanding loan. So the money that he owed the orphans, the money of the field. He said, look, the orphans owe you money, and I owe them. So here, I'll just pay you the money I owe over the field. And the guy left. Hadin Noisin, the law gives, Shivo Yershi Reuven, that the inheritors of Reuven could come along, V'yitbu Shimon, and to claim from Shimon, Bamilva Shazakvalov, for the loan, which he was owed to, that he owed to their father. What do you mean, didn't he pay up their creditor? No. Shaharei, because the debt of the monetary value of this property, that is no lien for the creditor of Reuven, because that money that was owed to them that they're inheriting from their father is not indebted to a creditor because it's a metatlin. So who are you paying up this amount, which is our money that you owe us, which is not indebted to our creditor? So you still owe us, I don't care if you paid up our credit, you still owe us the money of the field. But, Lafiga, therefore, based on the previous halacha that we just said, if Shimon's smart, he can get out of this. How so? Nislam harkarka. So, yeah, I'm going to pay you. You're right. I still owe you the money. I owe you $10 million for the field. He pays them with the property itself. Shalakha Merubin, that he took from Reuben, Bamilva Shazakwa Atme, for the loan that he had made out on him for that amount that he owed him. And now he pays him up to $10 million. Ooh, V'chayzav. Now he can go ahead and grab it from them. Because, as we said in the previous halacha, that a creditor, which he is a creditor, because the field that was taken from him was with achrayus. So I'm paying you, but your father has to insure me for that. And the creditor could collect from the properties that the orphans subsequently collect, because the monies that he gave to the creditor of Reuben, that Reuben shouldn't grab it away from him, that money he could collect from them, because he bought it from Reuben with insurance, and it was taken from him. He just paid him back that he shouldn't. But that money is owed to him, and therefore he could collect that back. With the properties that he gave them to pay them, he could take that property back. Halacha Yud Aleph continues with, regarding collection of movable items. So, although he said that there's no responsibility for movable items for the orphans, but for tiknu goin machrein kulam, but all the later goinim, which is the period right before the Rambam, the Rishonim, They already instituted shiyah balchayv goyve metaltlin menayershin, that the creditor could collect movable items from the inheritors, because today most people in those days, especially, their primary business was in movable items, and the creditor relies on that, not on property, because people didn't have property. And b'chein don in Yisrael b'chol bezin shvayim, so too the Jews in every single courts in the world, they also advocate that to collect from movable items of b'mariv, but in the West, which is actually North Africa, they would write in their documents of debt from property and from movable items, whether he's alive, whether after he's dead. And says the Rambam, comes at that you could collect with this stipulation of those documents that which was there in North Africa, more than this takana that was made by the Ga'inim, which you could only collect from the movable items of orphans only if there is no property. But according to this stipulation, they could collect even when there is property. A great boundary that they made with this takana, because why was it so great? Kashem lo yeda halayv b'takana zu, because maybe the bar is not going to know about this takana of the ga'inim. V'nim tzimam and yisayimim yaitz shleik adin. It's going to come out that the monies of orphans are going to be extracted and collected inappropriately, because since they don't know about this takana, so that means to say that the metatlin did not have a lien with the intention of it being collected after his death, because they don't know about it, even though the ga'inim instituted. And there's no such potency of the institution of the later authorities to obligate orphans and to make it be even in places where it has not spread out, have been spread out their halacha as if it was, which we would say that regarding the Sanhedrin, that they are able to make such a takana. But later, chacham, like the Gilainim, are not really able to do that, and people don't know, it's not really going to be effective, and therefore, it was much better, says the Rambam, what they made in North Africa, that this was in the documentations, which that was clearly, everyone knew about this, and therefore that avoids the problem about collecting shlikadin.